This is Business Beat. Welcome. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Coming up, we'll tackle sequestration, which is set to occur March 1st. But first, when a large group of farmers in the Southeast banded together to sue a powerful dairy cooperative a few years ago, many hoped that the case would bring big changes to the industry. But as Peggy Lowe of Harvest Public Media reports, the recent settlement of the case involving Kansas City-based Dairy Farmers of America has resulted in some money for small farmers in the short term, but little long-term reform.
I'm standing in front of a seven-story building just off I-29, north of Kansas City. It looks much like any other in this office park until you walk in and see the five-foot-high white plexiglass cylinder. It's a big, fake glass of milk with big plastic bubbles on top, as if just poured for a giant. This art marks the headquarters of the Dairy Farmers of America, another giant which controls a third of the U.S. raw milk supply. While it's technically a farmers' cooperative, its own members say it's really a cartel.
I use the term cartel because these guys are all connected. It was all about getting rid of competition.
That's Sam Galfin, a North Carolina dairy farmer. He's among the 7,000 in the Southeast who will share a nearly $159 million settlement the Dairy Farmers of America agreed to last month. The farmers filed suit 5 years ago, claiming the huge cooperative turned its back on its own members, cutting deals with Dean Foods, one of the largest milk processors in the country. The suit claimed that the two companies eliminated all competition in the milk buying market in the Southeast region, creating a monopoly that drove the farmers' prices down. At the same time, public records show that DFA and Dean executives were paid in the tens of millions, and their business partners got lucrative side deals. That's even as farmers went broke.
When I started in North Carolina, there were 1,200 dairies. Today, there are less than 300. In South Carolina, there were 800 dairies. Today, there are less than 100. That's not just consolidation. And the Southeast has lost dairymen faster than in any other part of the country because of this cartel focusing on the Southeast.
Galfin wasn't happy when the settlement with DFA was announced in January, just a day before the case was to go to trial in Tennessee. He says most of those farmers won't see a lot of money, and the few who remain are still struggling in a tough market. The cooperative's CEO, Rick Smith, talked to reporters in a conference call that day, saying DFA admitted no wrongdoing as part of the settlement and that they had already changed some practices. Smith said the cooperative settled because it risked more than $1 billion in damages if it went to trial.
Even if you feel the odds are in your favor, that's a big risk to take, and so we just made the business decision. I will say our farmer leaders are glad that this will now be in our rearview mirror.
The case was closely watched by an industry that has changed dramatically over the last few decades. Individual farmers declined by more than a third from 2001 to 2009. The big milking operations, with thousands of cows, are now the norm and are centered in western states. Many of the dairy farmers in the Southeast, and those who are part of a similar case in the Northeast, hoped that these lawsuits against DFA would change things, giving the small farmers a chance to stay in the game. The farmer's lawyer issued a statement on the day of the settlement saying the deal reformed the Southeast milk market.
That is putting the best face possible on the agreement that they reached.
That's Peter Karstensen, a University of Wisconsin law professor. He's been watching the industry for years, thinking something might come of a U.S. Justice Department antitrust investigation of the industry during the George W. Bush administration. But no charges were filed, so the farmers' remaining hopes for reform were tied up in the class action lawsuit.
My concern for a long, long time has been the need really to be thoughtful about how to structure the regulation of the dairy industry, essentially in the Southeast, but with DFA, you're really talking nationally.
But that didn't happen with the recent settlement covering the Southeast states. DFA agreed to make some changes that are a step in the right direction, Karstensen says. For instance, it requires that DFA can't enter into exclusive contracts with some milk buyers. And farmers will get a more detailed milk check from DFA, listing expenses and deductions, which they hadn't in the past. But those changes will only be temporary, as the settlement holds DFA to the reforms for just 2 years.
As I went through this, on the copy that I printed out, I've got 2 years written at the front end with a big exclamation mark. That's the problem, because I don't think 2 years is enough time.
Now the DFA has settled its Southeast case, most observers are expecting a similar settlement soon on the Northeast states. That case is the lingering hope for those who wanted wholesale change in the industry. Peggy Lowe, Harvest Public Media.
Sequestration, or the automatic across-the-board funding cuts set to kick in nationwide March 1st, will tally nearly $110 billion in cuts over the next 9 years. The cuts are meant to alleviate the trillion-dollar deficit. If Congress does not act to stop the sequester from happening, millions of dollars are at stake for the University of Missouri system. Indeed, sequestration will cut 8.4% of funding for non-defense discretionary programs. That means the University of Missouri system is at risk of losing more than $25 million of federal funding, according to a report from the system's Government Relations Office. The cuts would take chunks out of funds for student aid and Medicare, and the biggest slice would come out of university research. Back in December, when sequestration still was scheduled to occur in January, I talked with Rob Duncan, the Vice Chancellor for Research on MU's Columbia campus. He said about $17 million of federally supported research sits on the chopping block at the Columbia flagship alone. That's about 10% of the university's federal funding for research. The whole University of Missouri system stands to lose about $23 million in research funding.
It's a lot. It's substantial. And not certain, you know, what exactly that impact would be, because a lot of it would depend upon how the agencies that fund us from the federal government decide to make up that reduction in their budget.
Many universities receive federal grants for their projects through agencies such as the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, and the Department of Energy. Should sequestration happen, these agencies will most likely not receive the same amount of federal money they have been collecting in the past. In turn, the agencies may be forced to limit the number of research grants awarded, cap the price tag on those grants, or even halt funding certain research projects altogether. Another looming cut would be a $750,000 reduction in student aid grants for programs like Work Study. And Medicare payments are at risk too, but cuts are capped at 2% because the government considers it an entitlement program. Now, 2% might not sound like much, but as KBIA's Harum Helmi reports, it's the rural hospitals and their surrounding communities that would feel much of that pinch.
If the sequester kicked in Friday, the hospital industry could lose as much as $11 billion in Medicare payments this year. John Morrow is vice president at iVantage Health Analytics, a company that tracks the financial quality of U.S. hospitals. The company studied what would happen to rural hospitals if the sequester took effect. Here's what they found.
There are about twice as many hospitals that will flip from operating at a profit to operating at a loss in the rural sector than there are in the urban or suburban sector.
When compared to their urban counterparts, rural populations tend to skew older, lower income, and more likely to not have private insurance. That's why rural hospitals are more dependent on safety net programs like Medicare. On average, Medicare reimbursement payments make up to one-third of rural hospitals' revenue. Morrow says for Missouri, cuts to those payments could put up to 481 full-time rural health care jobs on the chopping block. MU health economist Lannis Hicks says surrounding rural communities would feel the effect if these hospital jobs did get cut.
It has a much greater impact indirectly on the rest of the businesses because they're the major employer, you know.
KBIA contacted several rural Missouri hospitals for this story to see how they're planning for the sequester. None have responded with specifics yet. Hicks says that's probably because they don't have a plan.
I just don't think most decision makers really know how to handle this kind of a budget cut. I mean, you know, it'd be one thing if we could say, well, we can easily do that, or we can, you know, it's going to hurt, but we can cut here, we can cut here. They're running lean.
In general, rural hospitals don't have as much reserve cash as urban hospitals. Washington University's Timothy McBride has done research with rural hospitals for 20 years now.
When a rural hospital takes a $1 million cut, they probably don't have that kind of money sitting around. Like, we were visiting a hospital recently, and they said they had 60 days worth of cash sitting around.
The sequestration cuts would add to the cuts to Medicare that are already included in the Affordable Care Act and set to kick in by 2014. Harum Helmi, KBIA News.
That's it for Business Beat. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.